The views, information, and opinions expressed are those of the featured guests and not those of IG Wealth Management.
I'm Manjeet Minhas, one of Canada's top entrepreneurs, and so excited for you to join us today. Through a wealth of women's stories, IG is carving out a space where women's voices are heard. If you're looking for insight and inspiration through powerful storytelling that will resonate with anyone looking for the answers to the questions that we as women ask ourselves, then this series is for you. Welcome. Today we're speaking with Christine Van Kouwenberg, Head of Financial Planning at IG Wealth Management. Before joining IG more than 20 years ago, Christine practiced tax law at a large firm in Winnipeg. While there, she encountered many families that could have avoided both personally and financially costly outcomes had they received the right advice at the right time. Knowing there had to be a better way to deliver proactive and comprehensive advice, she saw she could make a meaningful difference at IG. Christine is a member of the Canadian Tax Foundation, has her certified financial planner designation, is a registered retirement consultant, and is a trust and estate practitioner, as certified by the Society of Trust and Estate Practitioners. She has previously served on the board of STEP Canada and is a recipient of a STEP Founders Award. Christine was granted a King's Council designation by the province of Manitoba in 2023 in recognition of distinguished service to the practice of law in Manitoba. Christine is also the author of Wealth Planning Strategies for Canadians and has published several industry papers, given lectures to numerous professional groups, and is a regular media spokesperson. The drive to find a better way has always inspired Christine to push beyond the limits. Welcome to the podcast, Christine.
Thanks very much for having me, Manjeet.
Wow, that's quite an introduction. You have had quite an incredible career. I am looking forward to our chat today, and I'm sure so will our audience. So definitely through a lot of hard work and determination, you've had such an incredible career, brimming with accomplishments, learnings, and recognition. And you've definitely inspired many throughout your journey. So maybe you will inspire some listeners today. So why don't we start maybe there? Tell me a little bit about your background, where you got started, your career, your education.
Yeah, well, I worked in a large law firm for 6 years. I was providing tax and estate advice, mostly to individuals and business owners. And I really did enjoy my practice. I love my colleagues. I love my clients. I was quite content. But I had been working a lot with the IG advisors. There's a lot of clients that we had in common. And they approached me because they had this team, this advanced financial planning team, that was a multidisciplinary team. And obviously, when you're working in the law firm, you're working with lawyers. But when I had the opportunity to come join this team, it would be working with tax accountants and pension experts and financial planners. And I'd always really enjoyed collaborating with other professionals. And so this was an opportunity to really collaborate on a consistent basis and learn from each other and help solve clients' most complex issues. As you mentioned, I've also been involved with the Society of Trust and Estate Practitioners for many years, and that's also a multidisciplinary organization. So, it's lawyers, accountants, it's all the different types of professionals. And I really think that in order to get a complete view of a client's situation, you have to be able to look at it from multiple different perspectives. So it was really just a great opportunity to build on that. And I haven't looked back. It's been a really fantastic opportunity.
And so when you were going through school, high school, university, law obviously was your passion and where you thought your career would take you. And so what did you like about law? And then what was something that maybe you didn't love so much?
Yeah, my parents instilled in me, a huge appreciation for education. My mother hadn't gotten the type of education that she wanted. My dad did, but, there was really strong on education in my family. And I'm not sure that I necessarily wanted to be a lawyer. I just knew that I wanted to have good education. And we did the best we could to try and figure out how would that work. And I actually had a business degree before I went into law. Oh. And so I went into law because that was sort of what I knew. You're only exposed to so many things. But as I went along, I think the one thing that I didn't like about law quite as much is it was bit more reactionary. So people would come to you when they had a problem. And I think the thing I like about financial planning is it's more preventative. So we're trying to identify the problems in advance And, you know, I think, you know, I really like helping people and sort of, you know, I'm not necessarily confrontational. I don't like litigation. That wasn't really what drove me. I wanted to help people. And I just felt sometimes with law, I was helping them clean up a huge mess that perhaps could have been avoided. And what we're trying to do, you know, at IG is help clients avoid those messes in the first place. And I think maybe that's why it's more rewarding.
Yeah, I can see that. And so 6 years of a law career, what really, that's a pretty big risk after having, you know, a comfortable career, I would say, and a life that maybe is a bit predictable, which nothing wrong with that. I was sold that bill of goods by my mom too. And so taking that risk to jump into a new profession, a new industry, essentially, tell me a little bit about that decision-making tree that you went through to say, I'm going to, you know, take that leap of faith.
Oh, it was terrifying. I lost a lot of sleep that weekend and or week where I was making the final decision. You know, it took a few weeks to sort of get there, but at the, you know, towards the end, I really was losing a lot of sleep. And, you know, I was never really sure that it was the right decision, but, you know, I thought to myself, this is a unique opportunity. If I don't take it, will I regret it? And if it really doesn't work out, I probably can go back to being a lawyer. And I think at a certain point, you need to sort of go a little bit out of your comfort zone and say, okay, well, am I actually going to do this one thing for my entire life? Or am I going to spread my wings a bit more? And even though I've been at IG now for more than 20 years, I've had some different roles and I have a, you know, more of an executive role now. But and so I have to say, even once I got to IG, if I hadn't had other learning opportunities and other challenges, can't imagine that I would have necessarily stayed here as long as I have. As it turned out, there's been lots of opportunities. But when I was making that specific decision, you know, I thought to myself, like, it's a good time to take on a new challenge. I really didn't know exactly what I was going to find, but that was almost part of the excitement of it, right? Like, if you know, if it's too predictable, then, you know, it can get dry pretty quickly.
I totally agree with you. I get asked that a lot. And I think entrepreneurship is a little bit different that way in that you really don't know. Sometimes you're looking for some predictability because every day is an interesting storm. And so, but for most people, they don't walk into wanting uncomfortableness or wanting a new challenge. And so I think that many of us think that we're not risk takers, but essentially we are because we're looking to, like you say, help people in different ways, learn not only about ourselves, but challenge ourselves. And so what did you think would be the transferable skills that you had maybe from one career, one industry to another?
Well, you know, I had been practicing tax and estate law, and I had been dealing with high net worth individuals and business owners in certain contexts. I just think it was appealing to sort of look at it from a different perspective. And, you know, when I was in law, I was an entrepreneur. I was, you know, when you're in private practice, you're running your own business. And, you know, working for a large organization, although sometimes, you know, can get bureaucratic, and I think some entrepreneurs don't want to do that. One of the things about IG is all of our advisors are entrepreneurs. It's an independent, you know, contractor model. And so it's very, you know, people are very creative and they're always innovative, always thinking of new and better ways to do things. And so, you know, there was that alignment there in terms of how I'd approach my practice and what sort of business I was going to. And then, as I said, you know, the ability to do what I was doing, but look at it from different perspectives. So work with other types of professionals and just see it in a new way. So it wasn't that I was going to be completely doing different work. Some of it would be different for sure, but it was going to offer me an opportunity just to grow and learn and, you know, build on what I'd already been doing. And so there was some comfort in that. It wasn't a complete, you know, a complete leap into something totally brand new.
Gotcha. And did you have any mentors along the way that kind of helped guide you or that you could look at to say, hey, well, what would it be really like over there? And, or can I, you know, get a helping hand?
Yeah. You know, I certainly had a lot of great mentors when I was in practice, and some of them had gone on to do different things. And so I had seen some lawyers take their background and their expertise and do different things. And then, in fact, in a couple of cases, come back to law. And, you know, by that point, they had grown in different ways and they had ability to earn different type of business. And so, you know, I think it just – showed me that it, you know, you don't have to completely cling to one thing the entire time. You can jump back and forth a little bit and learn from it. And okay, so maybe it's a mistake. Well, you learn from the mistakes, right? Yeah. So I had seen other people take jumps in and out of various industries, and even if they had a negative experience, they always learned something from it. And I think that was something that, you know, I thought maybe this is a great opportunity. I should just at least try it. I didn't want to have any regrets that I hadn't tried it.
Yeah, I love that. It's a really unique perspective. I think as a lot of women, especially, you know, think of a singular role, an industry, and or, you know, certification or whatever it might be. And sometimes do you think that maybe results in some missed opportunities?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I think a lot of women of my generation, and I'm probably a little older than some of the people listening, but, you know, when I was coming through, there weren't as many women who were in practice. And, you know, I think a lot of us were a little bit, we didn't have the same confidence. So we sort of felt like, okay, we need to be twice as good as the men. And, you know, it just really understand every small little aspect of what we were doing to feel legitimate. And I think that, you know, that does hold you back a bit. And I had a few people say, you know, no, you can do this. You can, you know, no, you're not going to know everything the first day, but that's the opportunity. And I, you know, I've been encouraging people, you know, especially accountants, but also lawyers, people who are in professions that are allied professions to financial planning, but they're sort of sitting there thinking, huh, this is kind of right, but not 100%. I've sort of encouraged them to think about other things, including financial planning, because I think that financial planning is, even though it's been around for a while, a lot of people confuse investment advisors with financial planning and they don't realize the difference. And they think that I'm going to spend my day picking and choosing stocks and bonds. And that's not what you do, right? You're advising clients, you're an advisor. And I'm hoping that there, you know, more women come to understand what the opportunity is. And look, it's not going to be for everyone, but there could be people out there who are thinking, you know, I'd like to do something that's a little bit more planning oriented and proactive. And I've got some of the right education. I'm just not feeling I'm quite in the right spot. And I'm hoping that maybe those people will reach out and consider it as a career, because it can be extremely rewarding.
Yeah, that kind of leads me into my next topic, which I want to talk about women and wealth in particular. So I read a recent article by Investment Planning Council stated that by 2026, women in Canada will control close to half of all the accumulated financial wealth. Yet only 23% of financial advisors in Canada today are women. So what do you think are like barriers for women to enter the financial planning profession?
Well, I think the first barrier is a misconception about what it is. You know, I think a lot of people think that financial planners, you know, they sit around talking about stocks and bonds and it's basically high-end gambling and, you know, it's a bunch of, you know, it's an old boys club type of thing. And, you know, we use, you know, managed assets. Like we use all sorts of world-class asset managers. So, you know, BlackRock and PIMCO. And if you want to do that, if you do want to really invest in the market and do trading, there are companies that, you know, that's what you can do. And that's not really what financial planning is about. You need to be interested in the market for sure. And you need to have some interest in investments, but you're not going to spend your day watching the stock market. You're going to spend your day talking to your clients. You're going to be finding out what their goals and concerns are. What keeps them up at night? What's their concern? What is it that we need to solve for? And it is much more comprehensive in the sense that it's not just about investment planning. It's, you know, we sell investments and insurance and mortgage and banking products. So there's multiple types of products. And in terms of planning, it's not just about investment planning. I mean, there's retirement planning, there's estate planning, there's, you know, disability planning, tax planning. And what you really need to do is bring all the clients' concerns and goals together and try and make things simple for them and help them solve their problems and explain, yeah, you know, you're going to be fine. You need to, you know, save a little bit more if you want to retire at 57 instead of 58, or, you know, like it's goals-based planning. And we use our artificial intelligence-based technology to help us figure out solutions, but it's not, you know, it's not the old style, you know, picking stocks and bonds. And I think that is it's those misconceptions that in some cases are holding women back. I'd also say a lot of times people think it's a strictly commission-based environment, and we definitely do have, you know, most of our advisors are entrepreneurial and they do want to earn commissions because that, you know, high risk, high reward. And a lot of them are very, very driven, but we also have some employee based, you know, financial planners. So if you want to come and be an employee, you know, then it's lower risk, lower reward. But if what you right. really want to do is, you know, do financial plans for clients and you don't want to go out and do any of the marketing, those options are there too. So there's lots of flexibility. There's lots of options. And it really is it's something that's going to be in demand in the future as people's lives become more complex and they're looking to people, you know, for people to help them out.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, that there really, from what I'm hearing from you, is that there's just not one box. Financial planner doesn't mean just one thing. And I think that that is a massive misconception amongst, I would say, almost everybody other than probably financial planners themselves, because it is not something that is necessarily advertised in that way, right? And specifically to women. I love that it can be entrepreneurial in the fact that how much time you have, wherever you are, what are your needs, not only in a career and a job, but what are the timings? What is the geographical space that you want or don't want? I like that there's a little bit more about what you don't want than maybe what fits into that box, and or maybe what you think others are doing. And I think that so much, like you were talking about earlier about your education, like, you know, you only what you see is what you know. And I think that finding with financial planners, the same kind of thing. If you know three financial planners, that's what you think that like the whole profession is, right?
Yeah. And there's a lot of diversity. There's a lot of flexibility. And again, some people are concerned about, you know, being independent contractors. I think in many ways for women, that gives you the flexibility that you need to set your hours. And, you know, we're in an environment now where a lot of young families, you know, both partners are involved in child rearing. It's not just, you know, one woman who's taking over all of it. You know, spouses are much more involved. So, you know, it's a different world. And I think that people should just give it a shot, because many people have found it very rewarding and didn't really realize what it all encompassed. And it's about getting to know your clients. It's about being empathetic, being a good listener, you know, not being someone who just sort of comes up with strategies off the top of their head. It's about listening, getting to know your clients, being empathetic, and then helping them solve their problems.
Yeah, I love that. And well, and you don't have to be a math genius at calculus to be able to be a financial planner.
Absolutely.
So for many women, it can be scary today to take that leap into that new career. And so, you know, we talked about, you know, family for sure, especially young families. And on the opposite end, you know, caring for elderly parents, and especially in the entrepreneurial community and opportunity, whatever that might you think look like. So what are some initiatives and supports, structures that women should be looking for, do you think?
Well, I think you want to be with an employer or an organization that's, you know, aware of the need for diversity and inclusion, and also, you know, supports you in developing the type of business that you want to have. And, you know, for example, at IG, we've got a number of what we call business resource groups. So we have business resource groups for women, LGBT, disability, Indigenous, Pan-Asian, Black. It's a whole long list. In fact, we're now having meetings because there's so many business resource groups. We have to make sure that they're all aligned and we're not, you know, don't have three different groups working on the same thing or overlapping. So, you know, we have lots of corporate initiatives. IG actually just won an award as one of the top diversity employers in Canada. And, you know, I think it's really important that you've got an employer that's cognizant of the need to make sure there's no systemic barriers to people, you know, everyone succeeding regardless of their background, succeeding to the best of their ability. So, you want someone who's, you know, an employer that's cognizant of that and is also supportive and wants people to grow. So, for example, we pay for our advisors to get their certified financial planner designation. IG University is part of the division that I lead. And so we've got a strong training arm. Training and education is a big part of what we do. And some, you know, some organizations just don't have that luxury. So my current role, I'm called the head of financial planning, but none of the financial planners actually report to me. So the best way that I can describe my role is I'm effectively the chief advice officer, and all the people who support the financial planners report to me. So all the lawyers, the accountants, the training arm, all the support people. And, you know, our CEO, Damon Murchison, created this position because he said, you know, we're about advice and we're really about making sure that our clients get access to the best possible advice. So no one in my division is paid based on commission and we don't manage any product lines. It's all about how do you give the best possible advice, our technology, our financial planning software, all of those things. And so, you know, we're really, really focused on making sure that our clients are getting the best possible solutions. And as a company, we're focused on making sure that our advisors get everything they need to succeed and do the right thing for their clients. So, you know, when you're asking questions about the organization that you're going to, you know, do you have a training arm? Do you have a diversity inclusion group? Do you have support for learning and leadership and those sorts of things? And not every organization does. I mean, everyone, you know, picks and chooses their priorities, but for us, we do think it's important for people to grow and learn if we want to and innovate, you know, if we want to succeed in the future. IG has completely transformed as a company over the last 5 years, and we want to keep ahead of the game on that one. So, you know, that for me is important, and I think that's what women should be looking for in an employer. Are you focused on the future, and are you going to support me and help me get there?
Yeah, good point. I think that, you know, what you get paid as a salary and benefits is only a small portion, and more women especially are determining that it's one factor, but not the reason that I sign up with an organization or not. There's a lot of other things. And I love the fact for sure that you can find your own tribe and also meet new people at the same time. But that training and education piece, because those are skills that you will take with you no matter where you are, what you do, when you retire, like all those things that you talk about that are just not static. And I think that, you know, you can never, I'm a true believer too, that you can never have too much training or continuous learning or education. And if you can do that from a trusted organization that you're also benefiting from, but on both sides, why not? Because that is definitely, I think, getting to be more rare rather than commonplace.
It's a big investment, right? It's a big investment. But for us, we just think it's key if we're going to succeed in the future.
Yeah, agreed. So the last couple of years were definitely tricky for a lot of people, especially women during the pandemic. And so with people entering a more virtual workspace and world, to be quite honest, there's definitely some things that have emerged on the other side. So I think most people and their view of their finances and wealth have seen it in a very different light, either paid attention to it, either they've been impacted positively or negatively. And so why do you feel that this is the right time for women?
Well, you know, as I said, I think that many women would be good at the role because they're, and many men as well, but I mean, many women are empathetic and they're good listeners. And I think right now, you know, we have been through so much and the pandemic has had a huge impact on many individuals, and the things that they didn't think were important before the lockdown now have taken on higher importance. So for example, we're finding it's easier to talk to clients about planning for the unexpected because we've all had firsthand experience of something completely unexpected, came out of nowhere. And so now when we talk about, you know, insurance and planning for a premature death or a disability or, you know, things like that, people are willing to listen, and they understand that, you know, they do need to plan for the future, and their family will suffer if they haven't done that planning. So I think that a lot of women are good at taking a broad look and talking to caregivers, talking to looking at clients as humans and talking to them about their family situation. And that is really what's going to be important in the future. It's interesting to me because every now and again, I'll read an article and it'll say, you know, people in the finance industry, you know, good luck in the future because technology is going to take over your job and you're not going to be needed and that kind of stuff. And we couldn't be happier about the technology advancements, because what technology is doing is it's accelerating our business and it's allowing us to take the mundane tasks off of our advisors' desks. So yeah, if you just want to trade stocks and bonds, I would be a little bit worried about the future. And I do think that, you know, a lot of clients, if all a client wants is to be able to day trade, they'll open up an online investment account. They don't need a financial planner. Yeah. And that's not going to be the role of the future. The role of the future is going to be doing all the things computers can't do, which is empathy and listening and, you know, making sure that people are taken care of. So our advisors are in more demand than ever. There's also a lot of people retiring. A lot of boomers are retiring, and a lot of, you know, clients are going to be needing new advisors. And so I think that, you know, women are got a lot of the right skill set for the new type of advisor that we're going to need. And I wouldn't worry that technology is advancing, because that's what we're going to need to succeed in any event.
That's a really good point. I think we have to reframe it as technology is an enabler to not only this profession and industry, rather than something that is going to take it over. And I like that, because I think that not only does it provide more accountability, it provides more decision-making tree, but also a place to get more information. Because I think many of us think of technology or AI or whatever you want to call it in a negative light, but it doesn't always have to be.
No, actually, for our advisors, it's great. So In the past, we've always had some sort of financial planning technology. But in the past, the technology really relied on the human to know which strategy to put into the technology and model that strategy. Now the technology is saying, have you thought about X? So we'll put in some data and they'll say, okay, in that situation, have you thought about X? And look, we're human beings. Mm-hmm. We can only have so many strategies in our head. And so that's why in the past, you know, some people would always recommend the same fund, because how many funds can you possibly know about? And so for a lot of people, if all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. But now we've got this artificial intelligence-based technology that said, have you thought about this strategy or that strategy? And, you know, our advisors, I'm sure, have heard of all the strategies, but they're like, oh yeah, so in this situation, that one would actually work better than this other one by 2% or whatever, right? So you don't need to guess, should I recommend a TFSA this time or an RSP this time or whatever? So all the technology is enabling us to give the best, and I'd say most importantly, most objective advice, because right. It's not just based on our biases and perceptions. It's based on the data and what's been put into the platform.
Yeah. And I think definitely good point, more objective, but also better time spent. And I think that human interaction piece where you can get creative, get to know somebody, but also help others while you're helping yourself, essentially, I think is really important too for women especially. And so on the flip side, why do you think that women should be looking for financial planners right now, no matter what their estate looks like, what their bank account looks like today? Why should it be on everybody's radar?
Well, what we've found with a lot of clients is that they may be okay in certain facets of their life, but they're missing out in certain things. So we've had some clients that they've actually saved a fair bit. They've worked really hard, or they're high income earning, but they have absolutely no insurance. So if someone were to suffer from a disability or premature death, you know, things could go south pretty quickly. So it's not that things are a total disaster. It's just that they're not familiar with all the different parts. Some of them don't have a power of attorney. Some of them don't have a will. Some of them, you know, they're not taking advantage of every tax deduction that they can take advantage of. So it's not that they're not, that they're doing poorly. It's that they could be doing better. And when we put all the information into the technology, it often will come up with a better solution. So it says it'll keep tracking, it'll score all the different strategies. And so it says, well, if you layered this on top, you would do this much better. And you know, insurance is a good example, because I think a lot of times people think, well, I've saved enough. I don't need insurance. And I'll say, well, you may not need insurance, but I would, based on your situation, you want it, because insurance is paid out completely tax-free at the time of death. So if we put a slice of your investments in insurance, you've got more than enough right now to retire on, and your estate will be worth a lot more when you die, because you've put some of your investments towards insurance. Now that's just one example of things that I've seen, but I mean, so that the client had lots of money, they were going to be fine. In fact, their estate was probably going to be fine, but now it's going to be even better. And if they're saying, oh, my kids are going to have enough, well, I'd give it to charity, right? But like we've sort of given them examples of if they just slightly changed the allocation of where they were putting their capital, they would be better off. And that's the value in what an advisor can give to you. I'm hoping that the advisor isn't going to say, oh my gosh, you have to work an extra 10 years. I mean, right. In some cases they might, but for a lot of people, even when they think they're doing fine, they could be doing better and there are blind spots that they're not aware of.
Yeah, good point. I think that we all try to take care of the big things, but there's too much to know always. Nobody can know it all by any means. And let's face it, it's always changing, right? It's the opportunities of a lot of the things that you mentioned are always changing as to how you should be able to look at things, but also your personal situation is always changing. And I think that that is something that many of us think we'll handle it when it comes to us. But sometimes, as you said, that's too late.
Well, and that's why, you know, I tell people all the time, look, you can search whatever you want online in terms of your personal health and learn about, you know, how to work out and what to eat and all that kind of stuff. But you still go to the doctor once a year and get a blood test. And you still, you know, like, is everything okay? And it's not that you need to go see your financial planner every time you want to decide whether or not to buy a Starbucks coffee. But do you go to see your financial planner once a year to get a checkup just to make sure, yeah, I'm generally okay. There's no meteor heading my way that I don't know about, right?
Right.
So it's not that we're going to tell you how to live your life, but do you go for your annual checkup just for that preventative measure to make sure that your things are as taken care of, so to speak? If you're doing that, you are actually going to end up much farther ahead.
Yeah, I think it's nice to be even subconsciously aware of things when you're making big decisions, but then also kind of that second checkpoint, right? To say that I think I know, but do I? Because let's face it, we only all can read so much and know the minute details of so many things. And it's nice to have a third person perspective. And when you plan something like that, just like an annual checkup with your doctor, then it doesn't seem so daunting. But if you do it, you know, once every 5 or 10 years, it feels so overwhelming that most people avoid it.
Yeah. And I agree with you. If you do it annually, it's going to be a much easier thing to handle because your advisor is going to know you. They're going to just say on occasion, okay, let's fix this one little thing this year and fix the next little thing the next year, as opposed to completely starting over every 5 or 10 years. That's difficult and painful.
And so have you found that women approach money or financial planning differently than their male counterparts? I know it might be a loaded question, but...
Yeah, you know, and I do try and avoid stereotypes because it really does depend on the person. I think traditionally women were seen as more conservative investors, but I think a lot of women, they just want to be educated and they don't want to, you know, they don't, when I say they don't want to take chances, that's not really, like, they don't want to gamble with their future. They want to make educated choices. Right. Risk is okay if you're aware of the risk and there's a commensurate reward. And I think when women are educated and they understand, then they can, you know, there's a lot of women who are my team will say, you know, when we're meeting with clients and it's a husband and a wife, you know, sort of sit back a little bit and see who's taking the lead, because you never know if it's going to be the husband who's more interested or the wife. Like, it can be different in every circumstance. So I think, you know, we're getting to a point now where women are equally educated and they have more confidence. And, you know, that may not have been the case in previous generations, let's be honest. But I think as we move forward, women are gaining a lot of financial confidence. They're earning a lot of money. They're inheriting a lot of the money. They're, you know, building a lot of the wealth. There are a lot of female entrepreneurs. So they're choosing to be educated and making a lot of big decisions.
Yeah. And rather than Googling it, how do you tell women to usually go about finding somebody that they can connect with? And is it kind of like, you know, your doctor and or your hairstylist, that the first person you go to might not be the best fit? And how do you find that right fit where you're happy, comfortable, feel safe, and that you're reaching the goals that you want?
Well, I do recommend usually that people try and, you know, interview, let's say, 2 or 3 different advisors. Don't just pick the first person. Do have a bit of a comparison. But one thing that I do recommend people look out for is, you know, when you meet with the advisor, the very first meeting, who's doing most of the talking? If they don't let you do any of the talking and they immediately start saying, you know what, I think you should be invested in, you know, principal protected notes or some random thing, just making that up. Like if they start just spewing out solutions without getting to know you, that would be like going to a doctor and the doctor saying, you know what, for you, antibiotics. That I can tell just looking at you, you're an antibiotics girl, right? And they just sort of, huh? You know, but that's the traditional old style way of doing things. So is the advisor asking you questions? So tell me about yourself. What are your goals? What are your concerns? You know, what's your time horizon? How comfortable do you feel making, you know, financial decisions? You know, tell me about your family. Tell me about your past experience with money, what have you. There's no right or wrong questions. It's just, are they asking you questions and getting to know you as a person and as an investor before they recommend stuff? Then you'll know you're dealing with an advisor versus a product pusher.
That is a really good point. I think that mostly in you think of it as a sales pitch and there's less, you know, listening than talking. That's a good point. Yeah, agreed.
The solution should come at the very end. That's it. The doctor gives you the prescription as you're walking out the door, not when you're walking in.
Very true. Very true. And I think that we have to frame it sometimes like that too. Sometimes we don't maybe want to offend the other person on the other side of the table, but we have to remember we're paying them and they're providing a service to us. We don't want them to, as my dad always says, we don't want them to borrow my watch and tell me the time. And so,
I love that.
Well, what an informative chat, Christine. It's been such a pleasure to chat with you. I love the work that you're doing in this space, and I think that we all need more individuals and allies like you to advocate for women in finance. Anything that you wanted to tell our listeners in closing?
You know, I think the thing I've learned the most from working as long as I have and having all sorts of female colleagues and, you know, just do what you really enjoy doing. Do something that gives you purpose and makes you, you know, want to get up in the morning and feel like you're going to enjoy your day. Making money is obviously a big part of why people work, but it can't be the sole reason. And, you know, look beyond the careers that you have specific training in. You could have several careers over the course of decades, and you need to allow yourself to, you know, take a few chances. I'm not saying take reckless chances, but, you know, don't just settle. You know, I've met so many capable women and I've had to say, look, oh my gosh, you're very, very smart. You'll learn, you'll figure it out when you get there, right? You know, you don't know everything the first day, but you don't want to settle just because that's all you know. Be prepared to broaden your horizons a bit, because the most important thing is you want to be able to do work that you enjoy and that you love, and then it won't really feel like work.
Completely agree. Thank you so much for joining us today and peeling back the onion on financial planning as a career choice, but also as why we all need it in our lives. And thank you for everybody listening and tuning in. I encourage you to find the wealth in your own stories. And remember, when women succeed, we all succeed. We look forward to having you back on our next episode presented by IG Wealth Management. You can learn more by visiting ig.ca/women and can also find that link in the description of this episode. Cheers, until next time.
This has been A Wealth of Women Stories, hosted by Manjeet Minhas and presented by IG Wealth Management. The views, information, and opinions expressed are those of the featured guests and not those of IG Wealth Management.